From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for being with us today. This is Alan Kearns saying hello to you once again, and welcome to Let the Bible Speak. Today we come to the end of our first week of dealing with the subject of the temptations of Christ. Christ tempted but triumphant. That's our general theme, and I trust the Lord has already been blessing it to your heart and will continue to do so as we spend much more time today and in the days to come, in God's will, in this subject around His Word. So stay with us as we look into the Scriptures. That'll be in just a few minutes. First, before that, we'll have our hot topic, our daily commentary on a current issue for today. We'll be dealing with the preacher who was banned by the New Jersey Senate because he prayed in the Senate in Jesus' name against homosexual unions. But first we have some music from the Huddersfield Chorus from England. The old favourite hymn, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War. Now here's today's commentary, our hot topic, on the New Jersey senator who prayed against same-sex unions. When the New Jersey Senate asked the Reverend Vincent Fields, minister of a non-denominational church, to open one of its sessions with prayer, it got more than it bargained for. Clergy who give what is called an invocation, rather than a prayer, usually are deliberately non-specific. Those who profess to be Christian disgrace the name of the Saviour by pretending to pray without reference to Him. And, of course, they never pray anything that may relate to any issue of controversy that the senators are considering. Fields changed all that. On a day a Senate committee advanced a bill allowing civil unions for same-sex couples, he said in his prayer, and I quote, "We curse the spirit that would come to bring about same-sex marriage. We ask you to look over this place today, cause them to be shaken in their very heart in uprightness, Lord, to do what is right before you." End the quote. To add insult to injury, Fields even had the temerity to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in his prayer. All this was too much for the enraged senators. To them, the invocation is a meaningless humanistic exercise in political correctness and interfaith relations. The idea that there is one God who may be approached only in the way that he has revealed, and that his way is solely in and through Jesus Christ, is anathema to them. Furthermore, to pray against the unspeakable evil of sodomite marriages is even more objectionable to them. Difficult as it is for many of us to take in, while Christians slept and tilted at windmills, secular humanists and religious apostates have teamed up with many of the most prominent names in the entertainment industry to bring homosexuality into the mainstream. Even those who oppose same-sex marriage, for the most part, accept the right of homosexuals to cohabit without any interference from the state. The mantra is, what people do in the privacy of their own homes is their business. This, of course, merely postpones the day when sodomite marriage must be accepted as socially and morally acceptable. If it's morally acceptable, or at least morally indifferent for people to live in homosexual unions, then sooner or later, and I would say sooner rather than later, the homosexuals' demand to be afforded all the benefits in status of married people will be irresistible. In fact, it has just about reached that position already, and woe betide anybody who opposes it. I don't know the Reverend Vincent Fields. If I did, I may agree with his theology or I may disagree. I may respect him or I may regard him with suspicion. I just don't know him. But I'm glad he had the guts first to refuse to engage in a parody of prayer by omitting the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only mediator between God and man, at the behest of a few time-serving politicians. And I'm glad that he prayed against the abomination of same-sex unions that the senators were willing to legalize. I trust the Lord will answer his prayer and do what to most politicians is a scary proposition. He wanted the Lord to, quote, cause them to be shaken in their very heart in uprightness to do what is right before you. We could do with a few senators and congressmen whose hearts have been shaken by the fear of God to seek true uprightness and to fulfill the law of God and not pander any longer to the vile agenda of the sodomite lobby. As I say, I hope the Lord will answer that prayer right across America. If he doesn't, we're certainly ripe for judgment. And Romans chapter 1 will no longer be just a theological text, but a bitter experience.
Praise the Savior, ye who know him, who can tell how much we owe him. Gladly let us render to him all we are and have. Jesus is the name that charms us, before conflict fits and arms us. Nothing moves and nothing harms us while we trust in him. Trust in him, ye saints, forever.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, and it's coming to you out of Greenville, South Carolina. I'm Alan Cairns, and it's my privilege to bring the broadcast to you day by day. Before I give you our mailing address and other ways to get in touch with us, I trust that you'll remember that if you haven't yet signed up to receive your free copy each quarter of the Let the Bible Speak Full Color magazine, that you'll write or contact us and ask for it. I'd also draw to your attention our monthly devotional tape. It's a sort of an electronic magazine. Very many interesting articles and teaching devices in it, and we'd be happy to let you have it. So please be in touch with us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you'd like to contact us by email, the email address is ltbs@freepress.org. Or if you'd like to call us toll-free, our telephone number is 1-866-877-5827. That is 866-877-LTBS. We look forward to hearing from you. In our continuing study of the temptation of Christ, we have emphasized that this experience was a vital part of his saving work. Here we see him entering the stronghold of Satan to deliver us from his grasp. The battle he joined and the victory he won were for our salvation. Herein is his mercy toward us. He delivers us from Satan's power. And then there's a second aspect of this mercy, and it is to this that we now turn our attention.
The mercy is also seen in the hope that this brings to us. You see, we all have to battle temptation. As soon as Christ was baptized into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, as soon as you're saved, tempted of the devil. I'll not go into that aspect of it too much today, for if I start, again I tell you, I've never got to the beginning of preaching what I intended to preach this morning. I better not start it now, otherwise we'll be here until Christmas. But as soon as you're saved, or as soon as you have an experience of God, or as soon as you step out to do the will of God, immediately you're going to face temptation. And temptation for you will be just as real as it was for Christ. Now you will find in the temptations of Christ enough here that will give you guidance for everything else. But let me sum it all up for our purposes this morning like this. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, "We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, apart from sin." That's a very important proviso in there. Apart from sin. And because we have such an high priest who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, we can find grace to help as we pray in the time of need, according to Hebrews 4:16. In chapter 2 of Hebrews, verse 18, Paul says that in that Christ himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Now see what he's saying. He's saying, listen, because Christ was tempted and you are tempted, number one, you have a Savior who can sympathize with you. You have a Savior who not only sympathizes because of his omniscience, he has an intuitive knowledge of all things. But you have a Savior who can sympathize with you because he has sat where you sit. He has stood where you're standing. He's walked the way you're walking. He's met the enemy that you're meeting. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows what it is to be isolated, to be lonely, to be weakened in body, to be assaulted in mind. He knows what it is. He can sympathize. And anybody knows. Actually, this is where the Bible's been a whole lot of centuries ahead of modern psychology and psychiatry and all the rest of it. The Bible has known this all along and taught it all along. But haven't we begun to find out that one of the very first elements in the recovery of a person so terribly battered as a tempted and downtrodden person is to have a sympathizer who has been there? Why do you think the world has spewed out all these help organizations? Victims who have been through the same thing. Because the very first thing that's going to give you hope is the sympathy of somebody who's been there. The Lord Jesus Christ has been there. The sympathizing Jesus. Is there anyone can help us? That's the question the hymn writer asked. One who understands our hearts. When the thorns of life have pierced them till they bleed. One who sympathizes with us. Who in wondrous love imparts just the very, very blessing that we need. Yes, there's one. There's only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. When afflictions press the soul, when waves of trouble roll, the blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. He sympathizes. Bless more God, He does more than sympathize. He succors us. He helps us. He strengthens us. And He gives us victory. I was just thinking, as I was sitting in the pulpit this morning, how does He do that? How does He do it? His power to help us is first, I think, an exemplary power. It's the power of the example. This is how you deal with Satan. This is how you face temptation. And if the Lord wills, I'll come back and look at this in some detail to see how we're supposed to do it. It's an exemplary power. But second, I thought it is an educative power. In other words, there's not just an example here, but as you study this, you will find that there are truths about temptation and sin, about dealing with Satan. There are truths that are laid out where God is saying, it is written, it is written, it is written. I'm educating you, not just saying this to Satan. I'm educating you in the Holy Scriptures, which are not only able to make you wise to salvation in the sense of showing you how to get into Christ, but they're able to make you wise to salvation in the sense of leading you into the fullness of sanctifying grace and power. The Word of God. The Word of God is all important for us in the battle with sin and Satan. The person who has no time for God's Word, the person who is not steeping his mind and his heart and his soul in the Word of God, is a person who's ill-equipped for the hour of battle, and he's not ready for the awful temptations that Satan will hurl his way. How often How often Christians face affliction and trouble and trial. And they don't know where to turn. They can't pray. For they haven't prayed properly in months. Some of them in years. And they don't know where to turn in God's Word, and there is no suggestion by the Spirit of God of a specific or peculiar word from Scripture to their hearts and souls, and they are there in the wilderness, and it's getting darker and darker, and they're thrashing around asking this person and that person and the other person, is there not a word from God? And they can't get a word. Why? I understand very well that we need the help of other Christians. That's why we're part of a body. But I also understand that all the help of other Christians is absolutely useless unless God will bear witness from His Word directly to your heart. This is an educative power. Get to know what's written. Get to know what's written. David understood this. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word, I think we could very easily paraphrase, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might use it in the moment of temptation to overcome Satan as the Savior did and not fall into sin. But bless God, Christ also succors us with what I can call an expulsive power. I like how the passage ends. Jesus turned to Satan and he said, get thee hence. Get out. You know something? Without argument, he had to get out. There comes a time in your life and mine, in the midst of great temptation and trial, in the midst of some horrendous spiritual battle, there comes a time when, by the grace of God, we have taken the example of Christ and we've heard the education He gives us from His Word, and yet here we are, but mere mortals against all the horrible power of hell. What can we do? We need a Savior who can step right in and say, enough is enough. On your way, Satan. Thank God He can do it. Thank God He can do it. Oh, when I look at the temptation of Christ, I see the Savior going down to the depths. Thank God I see Him coming up to the heights. And as He comes, He bears His people with Him. We have a great high priest. He is truly touched. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He's with us in those dark hours when nobody else can be with us. He says, I'll hold you by the hand. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He's with us. And He's with us to lead us to the victory that He wrought out for us and purchased so dearly. For these were but the first steps on that long and toilsome journey to the cross, where finally He crushed the serpent's head. May the Lord fill our hearts and fill our vision with a tender Savior who loved you and me so much as to endure all that in our place, to give us His power and His salvation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we Let the Bible Speak.